Support for the Radio West podcast comes from Harmon's Grocery, committed to excellent service and friendly smiles. Your food is our passion.
The massive data center and energy campus being planned for Box Elder County is one of those stories that's moving fast. And just to bring you up to speed, this is a proposal that calls for a build-out of roughly 40,000 acres in Hansel Valley, that's north of the Great Salt Lake. And at full scale, it could require as much as 9 gigawatts of electricity. That's more power than Utah uses right now. The project is being pushed forward with the help of the Military Installation Development Authority, or MIDA. And right from the beginning, it's triggered one of the largest grassroots backlash campaigns we've seen in years. The guy behind the project is a Canadian businessman and reality TV personality named Kevin O'Leary. He's a well-known investor who's been pushing the idea of large-scale AI infrastructure. And early on, he presented this Utah project as something that people would welcome. But as the backlash built, he pushed back hard. He said the opposition was mostly outsiders. He even claimed some of the criticism came from AI bots, which is ironic. His last round of criticism came over the weekend. It was directed at a local political consulting firm called Elevate Strategies, which has been pretty outspoken about this project. And O'Leary targeted one of the firm's founders, Gabby Finlayson.
We get asked to do some fun speaking engagements every once in a while. And so we happened to be driving down to Price on Monday, and we had just gotten through the canyon. So I got cell phone reception back on, and I had like 4 text messages all of a sudden that were just like, oh my God, are you okay? Did you see this? Like, it's going to get worse before it gets better, but just hang in there. My heart immediately sank. Finally, someone actually sent us the link to a Instagram post by Kevin O'Leary. He was on Fox News, on national Fox News, and he was talking about the data center.
Who would want us to stop building our electrical grid? Who would want to stop us from having compute capacity to develop AI? Which adversary would want that? There's only one. It's China.
And he specifically called out my name, first and last name, and my company on national television and a couple of others.
Elevate Strategies, also a cell operating inside of Utah. Gabby Finlayson. Gabby, what are you doing? And who's paying you? So,
and what I'm doing right now, when he said we were Chinese spies, we had a little laugh after the initial panic wore off.
These are proxies for the Chinese government, is my argument. And if they're not, because I want them to be able to defend their name, Taylor, Josh, and Gabby, come out wherever you are. Let's audit your books and let's show the people of Utah you actually care about them.
How he came up with my name specifically, I do not know, but we are people that have somewhat of a platform online. We were talking about this issue. People in Utah, in leadership, Republican leadership, we know that they see the things that we put out. I assume somehow our post got across his radar and he decided to do a deep dive. I will tell you that the closest thing I've gotten to the Chinese government is my little brother, who's in 6th grade, is in Chinese immersion. In a lot of ways, it felt like a veiled threat, right? Like, here is a bit of a doxing that we can do. Look at these people. They are operatives for a foreign government. They are against American national security. And the initial reaction is always, you know, personal safety. But also, when it comes to politics and even the work that we do on social media, your reputation and trust with people that you're working with means everything. And so, of course, thankfully, this was such an outrageous claim that we haven't had hardly anyone take it seriously. But of course, every time someone is, you know, slandering your name and saying lies about you on a very big platform like that, yeah, it's definitely scary.
Why is this happening across America? Why every time we announce national defense in terms of giving us compute power, do we get pounded by all of these IP addresses?
Trying to frame this around national security is just so interesting, and it's a very clear pivot from where they were before when we were talking about jobs and money and how much is going to help the state in terms of our, you know, economy. And so I think it is maybe the next easiest thing for them to try and argue, and I think especially on an outlet like Fox News trying to point to a big, scary, you know, foreign adversary is probably a lot easier to argue than pointing at, you know, a 27-year-old woman in Utah being the problem and a bunch of protesters who are from across the political spectrum saying, we don't want your data center. People that have been in power or people that have been wealthy for quite a long time forget what it actually looks like when real people have a real cause that they really care about. Those people don't stand to gain hundreds of millions of dollars because of this project. They care about it because they care about our state. And that's exactly why we care about it, too. And I think to us, when someone is going to these lengths of desperation to try and change the public narrative and try and guilt people in a way to try and support this because it's about our national security, it shows us once again how out of touch people can be. This is not a messaging problem. This is not a you need to make a better argument. This is you are running into real people who really care about a very real problem in our state, and we're not going to back down just because there are billionaires who want to come and make a profit off of our resources.
Gabby Finlayson. She's a political consultant with Elevate Strategies. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. So because the story is moving so fast, some of the biggest questions are still unresolved, like questions about water and power, about transparency, about who stands to gain, who's in charge, and, of course, the effect on the Great Salt Lake and the larger environment. So we gathered some of the reporters covering this story to talk about what we know and what we don't. We have with us KUER politics reporter Hugo Ricard-Bell, along with Brigham Tomko of the Deseret News, and Leah Larson, who's covering the story for the Salt Lake Tribune. We started with Leah.
This project landed on my radar probably in late March or early April when Bar H Ranch, one of the landowners out there, filed an application to change their water rights from agricultural irrigation to industrial uses for a data center and power plant. And I kind of put a pin on it because we've seen these sorts of proposals popping up all over the state at this point. There's one in Tooele, there's some in Salt Lake County, there's some down in Millard. So I just made a mental note to myself to pay attention to it, not realizing just how massive the scale was going to be. And what I find interesting about it is it's not the only large hyperscale data center proposed in Utah. There are two in Millard County down by Delta, but this one really got a deluge of protests and feedback and interest across the state. So that's what I found really interesting. And I do think we're still waiting to get a lot of details on what it's all going to mean, what it's going to involve, what it's going to look like, what its resource demands are going to be. So, you know, we're anxiously awaiting for all those details.
Yeah, I would describe this story as the perfect storm for a story right now in 2026. You have a massive scale AI national security data center getting built in rural Utah close to the Great Salt Lake, backed by a billionaire. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Leah, but that's almost the perfect story to be covering. But I would say that what's really interesting about it is because of the enormous protest, a lot of Utah's political and natural resource journalists got onto those questions that we're trying to answer pretty quickly. And I think we sort of discovered that we are at the first step entering into the basement. Like we actually, I would argue that a lot of the lawmakers probably don't fully know what a lot of the answers to these questions are as far as long-term environmental impacts, exactly how much water it needs, what a closed system really means and that sort of thing. And that, I think, is why we've seen the reaction from lawmakers, which I know we're probably going to get to a little bit later, but, you know, that pullback that we've seen from the governor and that sort of thing.
Brigham, what about you? What are you seeing, just broadly speaking?
I think it taps into a broader anxiety about the AI age we're entering into. There is going to be an overhaul of our electrical grid no matter what. That's coming with the amount of demand that AI data centers are putting on the electrical grid. There are some estimates that they will account for 25% of the energy consumption by the end of the decade across the country. In places like Virginia, they already account for 25% of the energy consumption of the entire state. In Utah, it's around 10%. And so this is coming, and I think this became a flashpoint for people saying, listen, there isn't much public input when it comes to the fourth industrial revolution coming to my backyard, right? And so I think it's tapping into that because, as has been mentioned, there are already 48 data centers around the state. This one is in a class of its own, which we can get to, but it's interesting that this became the time where the debate has kind of united in some cases, Utahns from across the political spectrum, and it's been a difficult thing for some of the state leadership to message on, even though for the past several years, one of their top priorities has been to say, we need an energy abundance mentality because this is coming, and now they're coming up with a real-world application, trying to apply those arguments and seeing how persuasive they are to voters.
So what do you think caused such a stir with this particular one then? I mean, clearly it was the scale. When you talk about trying to sort of find analogies for how big this thing is or how much power it's going to use is complicated, but there's that. But it's also just the geographical fact it's right by the lake.
Absolutely. But I think what Brigham touched on just before, that anxiety around AI and that evolution of AI has been bubbling under the surface for a while. And we've
That's
seen
the other part. AI is huge. We don't know what it means.
Yeah. I think the local concern is for sure the environmental impacts. I mean, I think we would be crazy to think that there was anything other than that motivating a lot of these protests and that sort of thing. But I think that anxiety of AI, I mean, we saw it starting to come to the surface in the legislative session. The White House reached out to House Representative Doug Fiafia and canned one of his bills effectively over AI transparency. The word national security gets dropped into every conversation, but no one fully has explained, well, okay, what are the repercussions on national security with AI? Yeah. So I think when you combine that anxiety with the fact that that lake is at one of the at the lowest it's ever been, that sort of thing, like, this is a scary project for locals in Utah, and I think that has really come to the surface in the last few weeks.
I mean, the Trump administration has had a direct impact on this project as well. MIDA, which is the quasi-government entity that fast-tracks some of these military-related economic development projects, that's quite the mouthful, but that's kind of their purpose in the state, they were contacted by the Undersecretary of the Air Force in recent months about trying to develop a project this way. And so, again, people may feel like this is part of the Trump administration's aggressive executive action to try and build out AI data centers and AI innovation in the name of winning a global arms race against China.
Hmm. So what can you say now about the, I guess, the origin story of all of this? One of the things that Kevin O'Leary has said is that he met with the governor, says he met with the House Speaker, Mike Schultz, also the Senate President, Stuart Adams. And he described a conversation where, as he put it, they said, we want to build this thing. Can you do it? I've got the team. I can raise the capital. Do you have the land? They said 40,000 acres. How much of that is true? Like, what do you know? What can you say about this, the origin of all of this?
One piece that I can add is House Speaker Mike Schultz reached out to me yesterday and said, hey, we need to include an opportunity to correct the record a little bit. He said, I was never in this meeting, right? That's been mentioned on Fox and Friends multiple times by Kevin O'Leary. That meeting may have happened with President Adams and Governor Cox, but I wasn't there. And he feels like he was blindsided as well. This is the Speaker of the House, one of the top legislative authorities in the state. And he says he didn't find out about the project till April. And so he may have been behind some of the journalists and activists as well who were hearing about this project. And anyway, so I think Leah has a better understanding of some of the process that led us here. But that's one interesting tidbit that he felt like he was caught off guard as well.
Well, I guess an interesting bit of information I dug up was there was a meeting of a water district board in Box Elder County back in February where one of the landowners in Hansel Valley was talking about his fears about this AI data center developer coming through and talking to all his neighbors and trying to buy up their land. And he had said that he had gone, this was in February, to Speaker Schultz.
The commissioners that I spoke to, Box Elder County commissioners who voted yes on this a week or two ago, they sort of confirmed that they'd been hearing rumors but had no real confirmation until late March, early April, following that sort of similar timeline that Leah sort of outlined before. One thing we do know for sure is Governor Cox did meet with Kevin O'Leary on January 8th of this year. Because that was published in his schedule.
I mean, so one piece of this is in late April, there was a meeting with the Box Elder County Commission where they were going to vote up and down on a resolution to support this, what is essentially a zoning policy for this unincorporated land in Box Elder. Can this be used for a massive data center project or not? But they felt like they did not have enough information at the time.
Was it theoretical or was it an actual project?
I think the project was concrete and they had a proposal in front of them, but they feel like there had not been enough coordination or communication with MIDA. And so a couple of days later, MIDA met with Kevin O'Leary. They had this meeting at the Capitol. It was a public meeting where Kevin O'Leary kind of made his pitch for what this project would look like, and MIDA gave this approval for the tax exemption kind of status of this newly zoned area in Box Elder County. And then a couple days later, again, Box Elder County did make this final vote on approving what is really just the first step of what will be a very long process to get permitting and to pass some of these environmental checks at the state and federal level.
Lee, what does this tell you that there's still a lot we don't know about exactly the origin of the story, I suppose?
I think that's probably what's stoking a lot of fears and concerns about it. And I feel like the information keeps changing, too. Like, we hear contradictory messages, right? We hear that the whole reason that O'Leary selected this site was because of this natural gas pipeline that runs through the valley called the Ruby Pipeline.
Right.
And the plan is to build a massive natural gas plant. But then O'Leary sends out, a stream of tweets where he says, oh, but maybe we could use renewables. Or we hear from O'Leary, like, we've got to rush this project through to compete with China. And then we hear the governor saying, like, no, we're going to scale it back. It's going to be much smaller in the first phase, and that's all we're going to focus on. So I think the contradictory messages are a little puzzling at this point.
What do we know about O'Leary, not as a reality TV personality, but as a developer?
So a similar project in Canada is making progress toward a 7.5 gigawatt data center, which is a similar full build-out kind of projection for what could be here in Box Elder County in Utah. And this is after a years-long process that included back and forth with municipal leaders and leaders in that territory, and also some mixed messaging about water usage. So we're seeing some of the same patterns when it comes to conversations with the public about what these private projects will entail as far as water consumption, energy production, where that's going to come from, how it will affect local communities. And anyways, lots of this is being repeated here again in Utah. And, I think that the reason some of this mixed messaging has come about is because before you get some of that initial approval from the municipal bodies, you probably aren't going to fully map out your project, the blueprints and all of the logistics there. So that I think that will hopefully come. And so I think that the big frustration among local and state leaders is that Kevin O'Leary got so far ahead out on this messaging on these national platforms and before lots of those details were in place. Mm-hmm. So that's the frustration that I've heard from Governor Cox, from Speaker Schultz, and from other leaders that they've told me is – yes, they support the concept of the project, but they feel frustrated that the messaging got so away from them.
Yeah, I think you nailed that, Brigham. That's pretty much the message we've been getting, is that all of the publicity and that sort of thing seemed to hit the social media at the same time. And I think there was also – I will touch on the fact – and this is after talking to the Box Elder County Commissioner in the aftermath of that vote was
– To approve the project, yeah.
But was the emphasis of they were the final brick wall to stop this? And from the people I've spoken to, both for and against the project, Box Elder County had their hands tied in this instance. The state code, if MIDA's doing a project, they have to get signed off by the local government. But Kevin O'Leary's putting the money up for this. This didn't have to be a MIDA project. If they wanted the data center, and this is what I've been hearing, is they wanted the data center, they're going to build the data center, whether Box Elder County sign off on it or not. And from
because
that,
they already had the approval from MIDA?
Because they already had the approval from, it's getting built on unzoned land, understanding,
okay. Yeah.
Which further complicates it. But now we're dipping into a side of the legal system that I'm not fully well versed in as far as local unzoned land in rural areas.
Yeah, I would say that MIDA is very, very powerful. I mean, its chair is the Senate president, probably arguably the most powerful politician in Utah. And if you think about the Utah Inland Port Authority, which is modeled after MIDA's model, what they were able to do in Salt Lake City, you know, I think saying that Brigham City or Box Elder County was, you know, the final wall that could have prevented any of this. Like, no, we've seen that the state has the ability to kind of railroad local governments when it comes to things like this.
And that's what they argued was if we didn't sit down by Box Elder County Commissioner voting yes on this, they were able to sit down and go over their own terms. You know, they're not going to pay for the building or the infrastructure. They're not going. They're going to get, you know, certain emergency service bolstered up by the project and that sort of thing. So their argument is, by saying yes, we get a say in how this goes. By saying no, they're just going to jump over us or go around us.
That's Hugo Ricard-Bell. He covers politics for the KUER newsroom. Leah Larson is with the Salt Lake Tribune. And we have with us Brigham Tomko from the Deseret News. We'll take a break. Come back in a moment. You're listening to Radio West.
Support for the Radio West podcast comes from Harmon's Grocery, committed to excellent service and friendly smiles. Your food is our passion.
This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, we're talking about that massive data center proposed for Box Elder County, which I'm sure you know has become a huge flashpoint in the conversation over growth and development in the state. So we're trying to work out the details about the scale of the project, but also how it moved from concept to public fight so quickly. In just a few weeks, the proposal has shifted from a local development issue to a statewide debate over water and energy and transparency. And over that same period, the governor's tone is also shifting. The project, though, is still very much in motion. A lot of the key facts, like the environmental impacts and the long-term outcomes, all of that's still uncertain, at least still contested. So today we're looking at where the project stands now and the questions that are still unanswered. We have with us Leah Larson of the Salt Lake Tribune, Brigham Tomko of the Deseret News, and KUER's Hugo Ricard-Bell. One of the challenges that has come up in this story is just trying to communicate the scale of what's being proposed. Brigham, you start first.
Sure. I mean, I think the most common comparison you hear is to Utah's peak energy demand, which is around 4 gigawatts. And this data center at full build out in Box Elder County is projected to take 7.5 to 9 gigawatts. So that's double the energy consumption of the entire state of Utah. But some context to help illustrate that this is the moment we're in as a country is that there's a project in Texas and another one in Wyoming being built by Crusoe Energy, and those are both projected to reach 10 gigawatts of energy consumption, right? So this is kind of the direction we're headed, where these single data centers are going to be consuming as much energy as entire states. And that's kind of hard to understand. And so something that the Utah legislature tried to do to preempt the impact that would have on ratepayers is pass a bill last year in 2025 that would require these kinds of data centers to produce their own energy. And so that is why this Box Elder County project is being paired with a massive power plant, probably a natural gas combustion plant that would have to produce all this energy on site.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, that bill that Brigham mentioned showed a lot of foresight from lawmakers that they saw this coming, but the Stratos project, the Box Elder data center, isn't the only one building a massive gas plant to power their data center. And I was curious, you know, natural gas, despite what the name makes it sound natural and green, it's actually a potent greenhouse gas. It's almost entirely methane. So I was curious, like, what is that going to do for the emissions, like a power plant of this size? And I had some scientists crunch some numbers. And it will add a load of, like, 35 million additional metric tons of carbon emissions to the state. Our current load is 55 million, so that's like a 64% increase. So this gas plant alone would produce more carbon emissions than our transportation sector or our current electrical generation sector in the state. It's huge.
The headline seems to be the atom bomb equivalent here. Do you want to talk a little bit about that, the calculation that came from one professor you were talking about the heat output?
So one of the people I spoke to, the experts that were doing some back of the envelope calculations for me, because again, there's a lot of unknowns with this thing. So we're just going off of public statements and what we do know. But one of those scientists I talked to was a physics professor at Utah State University. His name's Robert Davies. He's also a very good science communicator. So he's the one that came up with that 23 atom bomb figure. And I know there's been a little pushback on that, that's a bit of fear mongering. But again, I think it's just trying to communicate scale in the way the public can understand, right? So it's not going to be the equivalent of like a nuclear bomb going off in Hansel Valley, but it's the heat. The equivalent of the heat is going to be that much. And it'll raise daytime temperatures from about 2 to 5 degrees, which maybe doesn't sound like a lot, but anytime you increase temperatures, you increase evaporation a lot. And this thing isn't near the Great Salt Lake. It is next to the Great Salt Lake. Yeah. Like the water right they were trying to acquire recently is literally on the bed of the dried up Great Salt Lake, pretty much. So you can imagine like creating a heat island effect in Hansel Valley that's going to increase evaporation, like what kind of toll that will take on the lake next door. And then nighttime temperatures are going to be even worse because you get kind of an inversion effect where the heat's trapped in the valley. So they could raise by as much as 28 degrees. And that would be catastrophic for the local ecology. It would mean there's no more dew points. So all the critters and animals that come out at night to cool off and be active, like that, they're not going to have that environment anymore. So there's going to be probably massive die-off of the ecology. Yeah, so I think the heat island alone is a major factor that is also hard to wrap your head around, and just the fallout of that on our local, like not even the global climate. I was talking about emissions earlier, but this is a local climate, right? Yeah. This is going to have a huge effect.
I will say, as far as the water use, which has been a major focus of concern and protest against the project, I think some of the technological developments have been lost in that conversation a little bit. Data centers traditionally have consumed tons of water and been seen as pretty wasteful. Most modern data centers have a closed loop system, which means they do consume a great deal of water up front, but then that's just recycled, right? And they can actually release that back into the ecology, back into the water system afterwards. And that's what this Box Elder County project promises to implement at their site, is one of these closed looped systems, which they claim, and state authorities have backed this up in some of their public documents, that this will actually use less water than the current use, which is agricultural, where they have these pivot point irrigation systems. Lots of that water that's sprayed out onto the grass for grazing is actually evaporated and lost. And so there's a really high depletion rate of that water that's being used. And they argue that the depletion rate of this AI data center will be even less. And they had that water rights change application a few months ago that they ended up withdrawing after all of this blowback. Yeah. And I've heard from folks, including legislative leadership, that this could be because they're going to have a proposal to help get more water to the Great Salt Lake, potentially even through a pipeline directly to the lake. And I guess one final piece I'll add here is, yes, this is about 10 miles from the Great Salt Lake, but that is further than Salt Lake City is, right? So we have lots of water consumption close to the lake already with cities, and this data center isn't necessarily closer to those other things. So I think that's just helpful to put some of it into perspective.
But shouldn't we also mention that a good part of the water, if not most of that water, isn't for the data center itself? It's for the natural gas power project?
Before we even get to that, I will push back on you there, Bryn, because I think what Leah was just saying as well was, it's not so much about like how much water they're going to put back into the Great Salt Lake and stuff like that. It's that heat index that's going to increase the evaporation that could very potentially evaporate more water than they could put back into it. And I think that's where a lot of these fears are coming from. And it's actually no one's really addressed that yet. You know, we've been trying to talk about the scale and the heat production, that sort of thing, for a while now. But that increased evaporation is I think what Leah was just saying is probably more of a risk to the Great Salt Lake than taking from a water body, because agriculture doesn't create that.
I think that's a great point.
And agriculture too, it's their water use is very flexible, right? When there's water's not there, we can call on the farmers to stop using it or to irrigate less. With the data center, that's a fixed water need that's going to be 24/7 around the clock all year long, right? And the thing is, too, is with these developers, is they can make a lot of promises, but we don't have any evidence for what they're claiming at this point. We don't know how much water they're going to use. We don't know how much water the gas plant's going to use. We do know they're looking for 13,000 acre feet, which is about enough water to support 20,000 Utah households. So that's no small quantity that they're on the hunt for. They're going to use it for something. And the other thing I would say is in the Hansel Valley, the water is quite brackish, so it's going to need to be treated. So a lot of things compounding on each other, it seems like.
I'll just say that I think lots of these factors and all the unknowns are part of what has pushed a big messaging shift from Utah Governor Spencer Cox, who over the past year and a half has actually made a big piece of his identity and brand to push for what he has called a energy superabundance agenda. As chair of the Western Governors Association, he's been talking about these issues for the past year and a half. Now it's coming home, and he's, you know, maybe saying, listen, we need a more nuanced, careful approach. And, you know, initially the kinds of statements that the governor issued in response to this specific project in Box Elder County were very gung-ho and saying, we need to build things fast. This is a perk, not a bug, that MIDA is able to fast track these kinds of projects. But then on Friday, he issued a statement on X. And then on Monday at a Deseret News hosted event with the Atlantic Magazine, he said, the process on this hasn't been great. We need better communication. We need more public buy-in. And we need people to feel informed for them to be okay with these kinds of projects. So
I think that's interesting. Let's talk while we're here about the governor's role and sort of tease apart, Brigham, what you were just sort of talking about and the role that he's played. Initially, as you say, he was gung-ho about the project, which meant he was, I think it's fair to say, sort of dismissive of the opposition, said that a lot of the scientific claims that were being out there were either wrong or hadn't been proven yet, all of those kinds of things. As you say, he made this kind of abundance argument that he was – what did he say? I'm sick of us not building things in this country. And this is just another case of that. So get over it and let's move on. But then he, as you say, has sort of backed off that. But we'll come to that in a minute. But what do you make of the role of the governor in all of this? Leah, you start.
Well, I think it's interesting to have such a high up government official backing a development project so locally. I know he does. You know, he and several of our state leaders view AI as the arms race of our generation. They've said that multiple times. So I guess it makes sense in some ways. I think it's interesting, too, that in that Twitter thread he issued a few days ago to kind of reassure the public and, where he announced that maybe they'll scale down phase one. He talked about how he's going to direct his state agencies at the Department of Environmental Quality and Natural Resources to basically follow federal law, which they're going to have to do anyway, so I don't know how reassuring that is. And then part of me wonders, and some of the sources I've been talking to wonder too, is are they going to pull like a national security issue card to kind of override some of those regulations? I guess that all has yet to be seen.
I think they already are starting to forecast that the national security argument is the main one for why they want to build this. So that's going to be definitely a space to watch. I think Brigham makes a really good point, though, and that is that a lot of these questions that we're asking are unknown. And I think, like he said, the governor and Kevin O'Leary and everyone involved probably got ahead of their skis a bit on it. And like Brigham said, he's rolling that back because I think, you know, he went into it being like, no, and he probably got a little bit personally emotional about it and was like, no, we need to build this. Like, he's got that Build It Here initiative that he's talked about, and it's...
Yeah, he was pretty testy initially. I think that's fair to say. And then he said, admitted later that he didn't handle it well. He said, I need to do better.
I would say, too, O'Leary's messaging that, you know, the protesters or the opponents of this project are bust in out-of-state actors or Chinese operatives. Not doing a lot to win over hearts and minds either.
Yeah.
You know, some of the big political stories in Utah and even around the country, almost all of what I write flies over the head of public opinion or doesn't bubble up into the normal conversations I have with family and friends. This is different. I've had people from my church congregation, my sister who doesn't follow politics very closely, my wife, all these people who typically would think that I'm just writing for other political nerds come up and say, how do you feel about this AI data center?
Wow.
And so I think it really is touching a nerve for lots of different factors we've talked about today, but it's still, I think, something we'll be writing about for a while. So
I think that, I mean, they rolled it out like that. I think one of the hardest things to sort of, you know, you're talking about how the messaging has changed and the adverse reaction and that sort of thing. I think it's because O'Leary has sort of tried to roll this out like Apple does an iPhone update. You know, it's sort of like
expecting people to be enthusiastic.
Look how great this is, that sort of thing. Don't worry about the, you know, the environmental dilemmas that you're raising. We've got it handled. Just go and enjoy it. That sort of seems like I think the story so far has been, if you talk to people in the crowd, it is the leadership in this project has seriously misread the priorities of the voters.
Leah, what do we, and the rest of you, what do we know about what the actual locals are thinking about this project? The people in Box Elder County, as you said, Kevin O'Leary was saying that these were, you know, leftists bust in or whatever. So what do we know from the locals, can we say?
Well, I'll start hyper-local. Based on that February meeting I mentioned of the Water District Board, the landowners in Hansel Valley were very alarmed and concerned initially, but now a lot of them seem to have bought in, agreed to sell their land, maybe their water rights too. I would say zoomed out a little bit. I was going through that deluge of protests filed with the Division of Water Rights. And at first there was like 400, so I thought I could put them all into a nice little spreadsheet and categorize like the basic concerns, but then it ballooned to 4,000 and counting. They're still being uploaded as we speak. But because this was protest filed to the Division of Water Rights, of course they were water focused. But what I heard time and again through many of these protests that I did read through was, this is contradictory messaging. The state has said it is prioritizing saving the Great Salt Lake. The governor has said this, that we don't leave earmarked a substantial amount of money toward buying up water rights and helping the lake refill. And then we're also, and you know, we're calling on farmers and all of these people to conserve. And then in the same breath, we are cheerleading this data center project with impacts that remain unknown. So that, I think, would encompass the, at least on the water side, what locals are feeling right now.
I was going to say, yeah, I was at the vote, and if you want an idea, like I think we've all been to, you know, everyone on this panel throughout their career has covered their fair share of protests. I will say this now, like this almost got out of hand. That the commissioners had to walk out. They were yelling. I heard one woman yell, you know, we know where you live, calling the commissioners by their first name. And then when they walked out, the protesters started kind of turning on themselves, because whilst there were a lot there, I mean, most of them were there to protest the vote, there were quite a lot of like locals from Box Elder who have lived there. I spoke to one who had lived there for like 50 years, who, sure, was fundamentally against the data center, but also wanted to hear what his elected officials had decided and why. And he didn't get that. And he was kind of disappointed at that note. So I think, you know, for the actual the locals from Box Elder that I spoke to, a lot of them were also there wanting to hear, well, what are we getting out of this? And when that protest sort of turned, they did miss out on that quite a bit. And once it went to a Zoom or it started getting streamed onto the big screen in the shed, I mean, it was lost. That no one heard a word. I was trying to listen intently. I couldn't hear anything. So as far as like what the locals want to get out of it, I think that's still something that, you know, needs to be looked into, because I still think there's a little bit of misunderstanding of what this project means for them based on how some of these meetings have gone ahead.
That's KUER's politics reporter Hugo Ricard-Bell. We also have with us the journalist Brigham Tomko of the Deseret News and Leah Larson from the Salt Lake Tribune. We'll take another break and come back in a moment. You're listening to Radio West.
Support for Radio West comes from our members. Sustain us at KUER.org.
This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Today in the program, we're discussing the data center proposal in Box Elder County, a story that's moving fast. And so we've been trying to get our arms around the basics. Like, how did something this big move from the planning phase to widespread public opposition in such a short time? Because after the backlash, it now appears the governor is rethinking his approach. This week, he said state leaders were taking a step back and possibly adjusting the scale of the project because of the feedback they're getting. And some of the most important details, from environmental impacts and long-term consequences, are still far from being settled. So we're talking about what we actually know right now and what we don't. To help us do that, we have with us Brigham Tomko of the Deseret News, our own Hugo Ricard-Bell, and Leah Larson of the Salt Lake Tribune. Well, let me come back to something Brigham was mentioning earlier, and that is the way the story seems to be shifting now and the kind of the way the governor seems to be sort of backing away from his initial enthusiasm, I guess. You mentioned, Brigham, that on Monday he was talking to The Atlantic's McKay Coppins, and he said that the state should take a step back. He acknowledged the messaging around the center had gotten away from state officials. That's how he put it. Said the administration was taking a step back and right-sizing this for the time, for this time, because of the feedback that we got. So it seems like what he's saying is, we heard the intensity. We do need to take a step back. And maybe there's other stuff that's contributing to that. But I wanted to get your sense of what that means.
So I think he was building off of this statement that he made on social media on Friday, where he said that he has talked with the project developer, who I imagine is Kevin O'Leary, and has received a commitment that this phase one of the project will be limited to 1.5 gigawatts. So that's scaling it back, but that's still comparable to the largest data centers in the country right now, yeah. Right? So still a massive project, and that this would only be on about 2,000 of those 40,000 acres that have been purchased. So also trying to communicate that, listen, this is not a 40,000 acre warehouse. I don't know if there's a warehouse that big across the entire globe. He's saying that this is having a small footprint within that area. And so he's certainly trying to emphasize that piece. But I think that the project at full build out will still be, you know, this massive idea. And I don't think that the governor has signaled a desire to backtrack, you know, what the original project was. I think he's just saying that this process
will go slower.
The process is going to be deliberate, that maybe it'll go slower. But I think that what has been lost actually in lots of this conversation is that there is a process. It has felt like there hasn't been much of a process at all. But, you know, I think there will be opportunities for public comment and more information coming from state and local officials and the company, hopefully, going forward.
Leah, how do you interpret what the governor was saying there?
I mean, I suppose they can only hem this in based on the laws that exist on the books. And like I said earlier, he did say that he's directing his departments of environmental quality and natural resources to make sure if they follow the federal permitting process they use and protect air quality and water quality according to federal standards. But I still have that piece lingering in my head about if they do pull the national security card, if that means that they can override some of those. That happened in the project that O'Leary's building in Canada, where the government of Alberta decided to exempt them from a normal environmental assessment process. So I don't know if they're going to try to do that here, but that's one of the things that remains to be seen.
You sound skeptical?
I'm just playing wait and see, I would say. Yeah. I'm sure there will be more opportunities for the public to weigh in, though. I don't think this is it.
Yeah. Hugo?
Well, I actually had a question for Brigham. You cover like quite 3,000 foot views of local politics and their relationship with federal. And I'm wondering, with President Trump's approval rating being so low, the whole rhetoric around billionaires and how he seems to look after them and that sort of thing, true or not, but what part do you think, if Kevin O'Leary, the billionaire from Shark Tank, wasn't involved and he didn't have that Fox News demeanor and that sort of thing, how do you think this project would have gone down? Do you think it would have been different?
That's a great question. Obviously, we'll never know, but I do think that if that were the alternate universe we were living in, it would be different. Because I think that what set all this off was Kevin O'Leary on national news before any of these public approval processes had taken place, saying this is going to be the largest data center in the world. And the reason that I love Utah is because they're going to do it for me in a couple of months, right? And so I think that his messaging is what sparked lots of the opposition. I imagine that there still would have been some protest, but not to the scale we've seen if it wasn't for that, you know, kind of deliberate messaging on Kevin O'Leary's part.
Yeah, and he sort of just jumped in like, you know, recently CCP's involved, paying off protesters, that sort of stuff. They're getting bussed in, you know, that sort of rhetoric, that very Trumpism style combativeness to local concern. It has really fired up, and I think we've seen this with how Governor Cox handled the Charlie Kirk situation, that sort of thing. Governor Cox, he doesn't really like that, and he wants to keep this into why this project's important and steer away from that shock value clickbait style politics that I think Kevin O'Leary is stepping into here now, and I would argue that is. That is probably where I would say his change has come from, is as soon as that sort of rhetoric started coming in and we saw that huge backlash, and then Kevin O'Leary starting to poke some of those bears with those you know, salacious comments about the CCP being involved and stuff like that. Doesn't shock me that Governor Cox has taken a step back and been like, whoa, all right, we're going to do a phased approach. This is a step-by-step. We're barely in the door yet.
Well, let me ask you all what you think happens now, happens next. Now, I won't have you predict how this is going to play out necessarily, but what are you looking for? Like, what are the steps you're looking for now? Are you testing the idea of whether the governor is actually stepping back? Sounds like, Leah, what you're looking for is just how much they're going to apply the national security question as a way in some ways, maybe to subvert some of the process. I don't know. Lee, you start. What are you expecting next, or what are you paying attention to now?
Yeah, I'm paying attention to that. But what I am doing on a daily basis is checking the Division of Water Rights to see when they're going to file for more change applications from some of these ranchers. And, you know, they have to provide a certain amount of detail in those, which will shine a light on what their plans are, at least from the water side. And then, of course, from the energy side, I really want to know where are these 9 gigawatts going to come from. Everyone keeps saying natural gas, but then there's like talk about maybe renewables too. What's the gas plant going to look like? What will the footprint of the renewables be? How are we going to power this thing? That's what I'm going to be paying attention to.
What are you going to be paying attention to, Brigham? What are you thinking about right now?
You know, I was surprised by the tone the governor took on Monday, where he was saying something he has said before about the global AI arms race, something we hear from President Stuart Adams and national leaders all the time. But the tone that he struck was, I don't think Utahns or Americans have their eyes open to this issue. That's the wording he used. And, you know, maybe someone who's more skeptical or cynical would say he's just trying to distract from all of the environmental concerns of the AI data center. Maybe that's the case, but I got the sense that he feels that we are in a Cold War-esque moment where
he's framing it like that, yeah, I think.
Where the country that takes this competition seriously, where you actually need physical infrastructure, these data centers, to power the artificial intelligence that is now driving national security. It's flying drones. It's not just in your phones. It's also a cybersecurity weapon, right, that can exploit all of the weaknesses of businesses or countries. Like Claude Mythos, I think, came out last month and had that capacity. And the point Governor Cox made was, what if China had discovered that model or that technology first? And so I think what we'll see over the next few weeks, months, and years is state leadership trying to make that argument that maybe they are in tandem with, with the Trump administration, and whether it resonates with voters, whether they feel like the stakes are that high or not. And I think so far, I haven't heard that argument making as much of a dent, right, into public opinion as maybe the leadership wish it did.
Yeah, and I think that's because a lot of Americans and Utahns see AI as ChatGPT and then just a slightly better Google at this stage. So I think I am going to be watching the messaging.
You mean they're not thinking about big closed loop water systems and gigawatts of power.
I think when that to your point of what I'm looking at, I am also going to be looking at that messaging around national security to see how that changes, because I think at the end of the day, that seems to be quite the driver for our governor at the moment, is that national security threat, where he is weighing up the environmental costs and national security, and how he's going to convince people that, you know, that's worth it. So that's the sort of thing that I think I'm curious about, seeing how that evolves.
I mean, I opened this conversation at the top by talking about two data centers of like similar size that are planned for Miller County, and you just don't hear nearly the protests on those.
Yeah.
So I may be wrong, but I think maybe the message that Utahns have is that maybe they're open to AI, they're open to data centers, but this is not the place.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's Leah Larson. She covers water and land use for the Salt Lake Tribune. Brigham Tomko reports on politics for the Deseret News, and Hugo Ricard-Bell is a politics reporter for KUER. Radio West is a production of KUER. You can subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. We're on Instagram at Radio West. We're on YouTube at KUER 90.1. You can email us at radiowest@kuer.org. Our intern is Aidan Oneida, the program produced by Benjamin Bombard and Tim Slover. I'm Doug Fabrizio.